You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to Dynasty Happy Hour. It is the original trio, the Triforce, if you will. I'm your host, Doug Eddy. I'm here with Tyler Gunther and Tim Keller. Just wanted to let you know, as you heard in the opening, we are brought to you by Trophy Smack. Use code DHHRING. It is week 13. Championships are only a few weeks away. So you know what you should do? You should probably go and order that trophy, that gangster grill, or that belt. And when you do, use code DHHRING and you will get a free fantasy football ring to go with it. So you can maybe give it to the high point scorer. Maybe you'll keep it and just wear it. And in your league meetings, you can have everyone kiss the ring if you want, be like a whole Godfather thing. Like, hey, I suggest it. It could be fun. But boys, it's been a little bit since I've been back. So I just want to say what's up, Tyler. You're looking festive. You've got a Christmas tree behind you. Tim, you're looking very patriotic. I know you've got your American flag behind you. I've got a wall and some flowers. So go me. Tyler, how's things shaking in Minnesota?
Good. Good. This weekend, we spent some time with some family. It was a good time. And as always, it's good to get back to the norm. You know, that first day after vacation, you're kind of tired, even though you feel like you shouldn't be, because you're rested at this vacation. You're just, you're relaxed. You're enjoying yourself. And then you always come back and you're just worn out. Like you were on a freaking drinking bender last night and you're just going nuts. And then you get home and you're just hungover, like a vacation hangover. And that's kind of what happened. But I'm finally catching my bearings. I actually have not drank this much water in my life since I've been home. And nice. It did feel like I was drinking all night last night.
You cutting weight? You cutting weight for a big fight?
Yeah, got a big fight against Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather, yeah versus Tyler Gunther.
At least you're getting paid, you know?
Wait, I am?
Go in there, take your beating.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time Tyler took a shot in the face for money.
Hey,
that's you know what? $20 is $20.
Bingo.
It is. Did you go in it? Did you guys actually go anywhere, Tyler? Or?
Yeah, we did. We did. We went up north. We just went up
Canada.
I mean, we're not far, eh? But no, it wasn't that far. And yeah, you know, the kids enjoyed themselves. We went on a 4-wheeler ride on a trail. It was a good time.
Cool. Tim, what's shaking with you?
Nothing new going on here. And I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to get this out of the way preemptively. Carson Wentz left the game today. Jalen Hurts came in for the Philadelphia Eagles.
They scored some points with him.
He went 5-for-12 for 109. He threw a touchdown, also threw a pick. He was sacked three times. He missed open receivers a couple times. He had to scramble five times because nobody could get open. At the end of the day, the team stinks. The whole team stinks.
I think today.
I don't want to hear. Oh, Jalen Hurts came in and lit it up. He didn't light anything up.
He didn't throw
a touchdown. I'll give him that. And that's more than the offense had done before he got in the game.
Yeah, what we learned today is that Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts, the rest of the team is not good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for someone in one of his redraft leagues that put a lot of stock in the Eagles getting better as the season went on, that didn't work out well for me. So, yeah.
Eagles flying into a window.
Fly right into the toilet.
The toilet.
Bloop. It'll be interesting to see what they do next week if they go back to Hurts or if they stick with Wentz. Who knows? I don't care at this point.
It doesn't matter.
Tim doesn't either. So
it doesn't.
Just play for better graphics, right? That's where I'm at. So this week, we are going to talk a little bit about quarterbacks, and we're going to give you our top 12 going into 2021. So we are going to include rookies that are
hopefully going to enter the NFL draft next year. So we're going to give you our QB1s, if you will, and we all have our lists and we'll go over and debate them, which is a lot of fun. Tyler, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about Patreon. Yes, we've got some exciting things going on over there.
Yeah, for only $5 a month, you can join our Patreon after our shows. We will have an AMA. We'll go on for 15 minutes. You guys can come on live. We'll add you into the video chat that we're on right now. But even though we only do podcasts now, you can come join us on a video and ask us anything, football questions related, how we're doing, what you do in the situation. Say you got
how to get an Xbox or a PlayStation. Yeah.
Exactly. Talk to us. We
how to beat a murder charge. Whatever.
Yes. Well, yeah. That's Tim's specialty.
Just get rid of the white suit, Ray Lewis. I'm looking at you.
Or the glove.
Yeah.
Or just like
get it's always the wardrobe hand. Thing.
Yeah. Get you know, eat some salt that day. Get poofy hands. Boom. Glove doesn't fit. So yeah. Actually, tonight we have giveaways in the Patreon as well. So tonight we are going to have this giveaway, and we are giving away a shirt from Viridian Global. You get to choose a shirt. That's the glorious part of this. A shirt. Not a sweatshirt, but a shirt. So you get to choose any of the wonderful selections of shirts between the podcast and their fun play on shirts. Like I have a CEH shirt that's like Fresh Prince of Bel Air. I have one of those. You can pick one of those.
You haven't made an MEH shirt yet? Come on now.
And also
my tummy hurts shirt.
And also we have a giveaway for a $5
foot long
Monday. $5 Monday or $5 Friday top loaders draw, where it's like it's $5 entry into a card break from Top Loaders, who is one of our great sponsors. But I actually have the list up, and I'm going to go ahead and randomize it. I'm going to click it three times. One.
I want the 101.
Two. And three. So Randy Young has won the shirt.
Congratulations.
And Brian Heiser has won the Top Loaders card break.
Awesome. So
I will put that in the chat. Those two have won. And it's super easy, guys. Just go to patreon.com/dynastyhhpod, just like our Twitter. You click join Patreon, $5 a month to be our Patreon. You get involved into our chat on Twitter. You get to ask us anything. You pretty much get us like in your back pocket. And what a better time, because this rookie season is coming and it's going to come quick. And this year out of all the years is going to be very difficult in my mind.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
I'm ready for it too.
Ready.
For you guys ready to get into some QB talk?
Let's do this.
Yes.
Yes. I'm ready to get into it. So we're going to go, you guys just want to go around the horn and we'll give you like the number ones and we'll just talk about it. Let's just have a discussion around quarterbacks and how we rank them. I will kick us off because I think this is probably the easiest position to rank. It's the number one overall QB for 2021.
Yeah.
To me, it's clear cut. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's not even close, especially when you look at some of the other quarterbacks' performances this year. Mahomes is the most consistent. He has the highest upside, I think, even though his rushing yardage aren't the same as what we saw from Lamar last year or Kyler this year. Mahomes is just that consistent player every single week. He doesn't really have bad weeks. We've seen bad weeks out of Lamar. We've seen bad weeks out of Kyler. We've seen bad weeks out of Russell Wilson. Mahomes is that steady drumbeat that's going to get you a constant 20-plus points every single week. It doesn't matter what the opponent is. He's just that good. He's my clear-cut 101. Would any of you like to debate me on this, or are you in the same boat as me when it comes to Mahomes?
No, Doug, no. The only thing I'd like to add is you kind of brought it up, is Kyler with his rushing this year, he's rushed for 10 touchdowns maybe?
Yeah.
And then Lamar last year, you know, setting rushing records for the quarterback position. Those guys have to have that special, special skill in order to beat Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes can stay right there with him without having to run all over the ball field. So, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is that guy that's going to be steady for you.
Yep, and this year, out of all years, I was in a startup, and I wanted to trade up to the 101, and it's so much cheaper to trade up in a startup to get Mahomes than it would ever be to trade for Mahomes in a Superflex league. So these kind of rankings we're talking about are also based off Superflex. I mean, that's what we're kind of basing it off of. So, yeah, I mean, Mahomes is the golden goose. Every single year, this year he has gotten better with his interceptions. I mean, it seems like he never throws a pick. Yeah, his touchdowns may have creeped down a tad, but his efficiency is insane. He's turned the ball over less, and yeah, I
mean, he does give you some rushing yards too.
Yeah,
sneaky rushing yards. They're not crazy. I think what you said, Tyler, there is one thing that everyone should take notes when they do startups is that yes, it is easier to trade for a pick rather than the player, because once someone takes that player, there's almost like this possession of like it's different.
Yeah.
Like now that I have a player and it has his name and it's set in stone, the price does change. So yep. It's always easier to go and try to get a pick instead of waiting for someone to pick Diontae Johnson and then trade for him. It's easier to get the pick that could be Diontae Johnson. It's going to be less expensive because it's like, it's just a mental thing. It's like, once you see it, it's like going out and buying something off the shelf. Like once I have it in my possession and I own it, like it just means more because it's mine versus, versus just a price tag or a number. So yes, I think that is very good feedback and something that if you're looking to do some dynasty startups, something to keep in mind because yeah, that is definitely a lot easier to do. So that brings us to number two. I'll go over mine. I've got Kyler at number two. And I think that we've got some bumps in the road with Kyler. I think right now you'll see his stock may have gone down a little bit. I mean, he did have three touchdowns today, but you know, last week against the Patriots, he didn't play all that well. It looks like his shoulder might be injured. But you can't dismiss the 10 touchdowns. He's on pace to break Cam Newton's record of 14, which Cam has 11, by the way. So Kyler...
What, two passing touchdowns?
He had a third one today. N'Keal Harry, thank you very much.
Yeah.
No, he's got four. He's got three to receivers. He's got like five on the season. Anywho. So I think Kyler, you know, to me, he's a different runner than Lamar. Kyler is more elusive. You can tell he definitely has a baseball background. Mm-hmm. And Kyler is a better passer than Lamar. And I think that's becoming abundantly clear this year, especially the regression that we've seen in Lamar's game. And Kyler, I think, is a little bit more, is a little safer. So when you look at 2021, I don't think Kyler is going to drop off in 2021 like Lamar has in 2020. So I think that he has a safer cushion to be the QB2, and that's why I have him ranked there.
Okay. No, I agree. I have him at two as well. And honestly, for the same reasons about being a better passer than Lamar. Lamar was number two last year, but we were hoping for more of a progression as a passer, getting more weapons in that offense. We thought Dobbins would help as a pass catcher in the backfield, and just it hasn't happened. Kyler, like you said, I don't fear that because he is an actually very good, accurate passer, and we never had an issue with him as a passer. So I do think Kyler is a lot safer. And like you said, the rushing is just a cherry on the top.
Yeah, and he's also attached to one of the best receivers in the league in DeAndre Hopkins.
Uh-huh.
You know, Christian Kirk has flashed this year. you know, Lamar, we all wanted Hollywood Brown to be awesome, and he hasn't had a great year. So I think they...
He's just Marquise. He's not Hollywood yet. He's just Marquise Brown.
Yeah, he's kind of like Atlantic City Brown.
Ooh,
like he's
30.
Not Vegas or Hollywood. He's just kind of like Atlantic City. Like, it's kind of a fun place to go to, but it's not going to be memorable.
You're going to need a shower
Reno
a couple times.
Reno Brown.
Reno 911. Tim, who you got at number two? Do you have Kyler as well?
I will say that I have Kyler by a hair at number two. The other guy that I have just behind him is Dak Prescott.
Okay.
Because Dak to start the season was on a crazy, crazy pace. He still has the highest fantasy points per game average of all the quarterbacks for the season for games played. I mean, I think that can easily replicate that again. My concern is we're seeing this Cowboys defense early on. The whole talk was this Cowboys defense is no good. The system's too hard to learn. Without a true offseason and a full-fledged camp, I think these players were a little bit behind the eight ball with this type of system in place. So the Cowboys defense is starting to look better and better every week in my eyes. So I don't think that Dak's going to be in so many shootouts next year. We remember... You know, they would get behind early, and then Dak would have to come out and lead these second half miracle comebacks. Looking at you, Falcons. But I still think Dak can put up a whole lot of points because he's got a lot of weapons there in Dallas. So
you're assuming that Dak is going to be back as a Dallas Cowboy next year?
Yes,
he better be.
Yeah, I don't see why.
I think he better be too, but you just never know.
You never know. But if
the thing is, okay.
So there we go. We'll put that little asterisk there. If Dak is a Cowboy, I would say that Dak would be, in my opinion, the number three quarterback just behind Kyler Murray.
But I mean, if you're Dallas, it's been proven that Dak is the motor to your offense. It's
clear as day.
Yeah. Everybody thought it was Zeke, but no, it is definitely Dak. And we know this now. And you could sit here and say, well, Dalton played. No. It's Dak.
Yeah. It's definitely Dak. He raises the tide for all of those players in that offense.
Yeah. And the best part about Dak Prescott is there's so many fantasy teams that even you and I, Doug, we have him on. I forget. Like, same with Saquon. I forget.
Yeah, you're
he's
like,
on
oh,
my
we're
team.
Screwed at QB, and you're like, oh yeah, we have Dak for next year. And I'm like, yeah, dude, we traded for him.
Yeah, we have Dak and Burrow. God, crazy. Which we'll probably talk about later. So Tim, Dak is your third.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just gonna go ahead and say Herbert's my third.
Ooh, spicy. I have either one of those guys as my three.
Here's my concern with Herbert is who's gonna be the coach.
Nothing.
No, I think Herbert's got a world of talent. I think he's fantastic. Who's the coach there? What type of system are they running?
Hopefully not Anthony Lynn, because he is.
I mean, but how many times, like, Adam Gase was supposed to revolutionize the offense in Chicago and come in and help Trubisky, and I'm not comparing Herbert to Trubisky.
What if it's the OC from Carolina?
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you.
Joe Brady.
I think Herbert can do well, you know, in spite of all these things. No matter what, I think he's going to be good. He's Mahomes' talent. And if, say, Herbert does get a coach like Andy Reid, it's going to complete the puzzle. Like, he's only going to get better. So I think this right here is kind of like the blank canvas that we see, what we see from Herbert. And I was like, okay, we're just letting him be Herbert. But if we had a good offensive mind, like a Joe Brady come in and be like, okay, this offensive mind guy is coming in and he's going to mold Herbert into an insane talent. And I just think it's going to get better. And Herbert has all the tools to do so. And I'm betting on that. And I know he did not play well against New England today, but like Tim mentioned off camera, that's New England's defense. And that's Bill Belichick knowing, like, hey,
yeah,
okay, this is Herbert. And
you don't want to see the Pats.
Yeah.
Which is true. He does have an impeccable record against rookie quarterbacks. I think to put Herbert in Mahomes level talent is a little too early for that. I think that I see the tools that Herbert has, but I'm not putting him on Mahomes level yet, Tyler.
There's throws that Herbert made today off his back foot that him, Rodgers, Mahomes, and maybe one other quarterback could make.
I mean, I think that's probably fair. I just don't think he's at that level. I think maybe he has the potential to be at that level, and that's kind of what you're going into is having your QB3. You might see that his ceiling is Patrick Mahomes, where me, I'm like, I'm not ready to crown him just yet. Although maybe he does get to there. You know, he does have offensive weapons around him. We'll see. I have my number three quarterback, and this might be a little bit of recency bias, but I really like the way that he's played over the last 8 weeks. Because he's super consistent as well. I mean, he does have a couple of bad games here and there, but he's also missing
Kirk Cousins.
No, he's also missing his best offensive player now for 6 games. Dude, Deshaun Watson, Chad Hansen had 106 yards receiving today. Like, Deshaun Watson is just good. He had his first interception, which was not even his fault, in 200 and something pass attempts. Deshaun Watson is crazy good. Now that Bill O'Brien's out of the picture, and you know, they've got Romeo Crennel there, who's obviously not an offensive mind, but I think Deshaun Watson is super underappreciated. He's missing his left tackle. He's doing it with guys that, like, Kiki QT, who used to be in the doghouse. You know, Brandon Cooks is stepping up. Like, he's doing all of these things with not the most ideal weapons around him. And I think Deshaun Watson, kind of like Mahomes, is just that super safe floor, and he's got a sky-high ceiling where he's going to have 4 and 5 touchdown weeks, and we've seen it before in the past. He does offer you the rushing upside, not as much as Kyler or as much as Lamar, but, you know, Deshaun Watson is going to get you a sneaky 30, 40 rushing yards, which is the equivalent of another passing touchdown. Kind of how we used to say with Tyrod Taylor when he was with Buffalo, he'd get you 40 yards rushing. That's like another touchdown. That's Deshaun Watson. I think that they can, you know, they don't have a lot of draft picks, so that kind of stinks from his future standpoint, but I think that Deshaun Watson is just crazy good at football. He doesn't turn the ball over a ton. He gives you that kind of that Konami code quarterback style. And I just trust Deshaun Watson. And when I think about quarterbacks, like, I don't want the crazy highs and the crazy lows. I want something more in that middle of that consistency. And that's what Deshaun Watson gives you. So that's why I have him ranked at number three.
I like it. And I mean, I think I have him up the, nope, I have one quarterback ahead of him. Okay. So Watson is five for me. And I completely agree. And my favorite part about Watson is, okay, I'm going to compare this kind of silly, you know me, but you know, when somebody's like sprinting and their head just doesn't move, it's just, it's like it's floating. Like, yeah. And it just
his doesn't, head doesn't move. Move when he's it's, running full speed. It's really weird.
It's motionless. That's Watson when he's in the pocket. It's like his head is floating and yet his body's moving all sorts of directions. And it's how good he is because he keeps his eyes on the field and he's got this pocket presence, like a sixth sense where he's just like, nope, nope, nope. And then he throws it or he can just take off. Mm-hmm. Watson is probably, I think he's probably one of the best dual threat quarterbacks in the league.
He's right like now. For me, he's like more, his pocket presence is very similar to Russell Wilson's, but with more athleticism.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I could see that. And it helps that he's also taller.
Yes.
I mean, I get that's, you know, Russ, everybody knocks him for that, but it does make a difference for Russ at times because he has to get further outside the pocket. With Watson, he doesn't have to get further outside the pocket because he's able to see past.
Throw it downhill where Russell Wilson and guys like Drew Brees have to throw that high arcing
uphill, pass, yeah,
throw more of a bullet.
And also he does have a left tackle. I know you mentioned this. They just decided to take all the money Laremy Tunsil's owed and put it at left tackle.
It's just a bag of money there.
Yeah, just a bag of money. And it actually works because you know the DN is just staring at it, just like, okay.
He's like, look at that, man. $20 million. Yeah. I just want to grab it. Forget the quarterback. All right. So who do you guys have? Tim, we'll start with you. Who do you have at your number four?
My number four is also Deshaun Watson.
Nice.
You know, you guys kind of hit on it a lot there. I do have concerns about his future with the, you know, BOB didn't do that team any favors by trading away some of that draft capital. So I'm interested to see what they do via free agency and the limited draft picks they have. Hopefully they can get him another weapon in there. Brandon Cooks looks to have another concussion. So
he came back in the game.
You know what? You know what receiver would fit their mold? Rondell Moore. I know he might drop a little bit in the draft and people are thinking, okay, he could be a second round pick. He fits their receiving mold, like a small guy, super quick. And gets open really easily. It kind of fits what Houston usually likes to draft. But, you know, different regime, they could go a different direction.
Absolutely. Tyler, who you got at number four?
My number four is Josh Allen. And I just think the evolution with Diggs has made a difference. And I just like watching him play. He's so much fun to watch play. He could throw the ball around the world. I've seen
over the mountains. Live.
I've seen it happen.
He and Uncle Rico. Uncle Rico.
Yeah. You know, funny thing is, did you know if Uncle Rico was in instead of Josh Allen, they would have won state.
True.
It's true. But no, Josh Allen with Diggs, it's helped out a ton. And that, man, that team, I think, is safe. I think Josh Allen isn't going to have like a coordinator change or anything or a scheme change for a while. I think he's finally comfortable in what he's been learning through these years. He's going to be the quarterback that gets that big extension. My fear with Josh Allen and Dynasty is the hits he takes. And, you know, he's big, but we've seen it happen to Cam. I mean, Cam, we thought was indestructible, but we saw him get nicked little by little each and every single year.
Yeah, those hits are going to add up for sure. Yeah.
And I hope that when that happens, In my mind, I think Josh Allen can be more of a pocket passer, like a Big Ben style type passer. Mm-hmm. And it didn't really work out for Cam. And I think that was mainly because of the shoulder injury and not because Cam couldn't do it. But hopefully Josh Allen stays healthy.
Yeah, hopefully. I've got my number four is Dak Prescott. I would probably, if Dak was healthy right now, I would probably have him over Watson. And obviously we don't know where Dak's going to be next year. Again, like Tim, like I assume it's going to be Dallas, but you just never know. The NFL is a wild place. So, you know, Dak, to me, again, much like Deshaun Watson, doesn't turn the ball over, has the Konami code ability. unlocks an offense. Now, Dak has more weapons around him that are better than Houston does. And we obviously saw, like you said, Dak leading the league in fantasy points. I believe it was just a couple of weeks ago there was a stat that like Dak Prescott still had more fantasy points than Baker Mayfield, which was wild to me.
Up to 2 weeks ago, that was.
That's wild. So that just goes to show how much of an absolute tear Dak Prescott was on. I think that he's going to come back healthy next year. I'm hoping it's with the Cowboys because they're going to get their line back. They're not going to be necessarily losing anyone in free agency on that offense, I believe. So, yeah, so that's why I have Dak 4. If he was healthy, I would probably have him just a slight tick above Deshaun Watson. So let's go to number 5, shall we? Or do you have any more commentary there?
No.
No, my 5 is Watson, so you guys can kind of just brush past that.
Okay. Tim, who you got at 5?
My 5, I go to the rookie here, Justin Herbert. Mentioned earlier, all the talent in the world. The kid's absolutely amazing. I have concerns about the next regime, you know, the system he's going to be in. Keenan Allen's haircut. Super, super underrated, but he's starting to age up a little bit here.
They just signed him long-term, though.
Yeah, but we see it. You know, guys get signed to that second, third deal. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey, he had about a season and a half and then just completely.
He had like 30%.
AJ Green.
Okay. Yeah. Alshon Jeffrey had like 30% hamstring left for his career. So
true.
That Keenan Allen could be on 30%. We don't know.
He could be at like 30% shoulder.
I mean, Keenan Allen's game, though, like just as a side note, I think his game translates better for longevity than like Alshon.
He's got a little more Larry than he does anybody else.
Yes, he's a technician. Those guys last longer. Yeah.
But Herbert's my 5. I think the world of the kid. I think he's almost system proof, but there is that outside chance that he just gets stuck with a dud coach.
No, for sure. I've got Lamar Jackson as my number 5. Mm-hmm. I think what we're seeing from Lamar from 2019 to 2020. Obviously, Lamar put up the best fantasy season of a quarterback of all time last year. Uh-huh. We all knew that there was going to be some fall off from that. We just didn't think that he wouldn't be a QB1 on the season. So I think there's, you know, a lot of times when you see these world beater offenses like the 2017 or the 2007 Patriots or name another team, the greatest show on turf. A lot of times it's like we get like, oh, these guys are awesome. And then they come back the next year. And it's just really hard to repeat that.
Yeah.
I think obviously losing Ronnie Staley, Marshall Yanda retiring didn't help Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. You know, they really need to find a receiver that goes well with that offense. It can't just be Mark Andrews and running the ball all the time for them to be successful. They need some other threat there. So hopefully they can address that in free agency. But I think Rashad Lamar Bateman. Sure. I think Lamar is super talented still. You know, the rushing yards aren't quite what they were last year. And then the passing touchdowns are way down. So I think what we see from Lamar in the future is kind of a mix between 2019 and 2020. And I feel he's a great fantasy asset in your Superflex leagues. And that's why I have him at QB because we've already seen what the ceiling with Lamar is. And we're kind of seeing what might be the floor. I think that the answer lies somewhere
in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle is what he's going to be going forward. And I'm perfectly okay with that at the QB5 in my particular rankings.
Absolutely.
So, Tyler.
Number 6.
Oh, God, you guys are going to hate me. I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
I don't
hate it. I just think it's a little bold.
Trevor
Lawrence. He's going to be on the Jets.
Yes, but we've all seen the Jets weapons aren't bad, and they're going to add more to this offense. They've got a bookend left tackle. Mekhi Becton is actually very good.
He's an animal. He's tossing around NFL defensive linemen
for fun.
Yeah. Like,
but remember, you guys, this is how the NFL draft process gets it wrong. Remember, oh, he's probably going to eat himself out of the NFL because he likes food too much. The dude's 6'8", 350. He needs to like food. Otherwise, he dies. Like, this dude needs to keep
eating. He needs like 5,000 calories a day or else he's going to shrink.
Yeah. Like, I don't think people realize that. Like, yeah, that's perfectly fine with me. But I do like LaMichael Perine, but I do think they go into the draft
drafting a running back after
a running back. Yes, 100%.
Imagine if they draft Trevor Lawrence 101, and then maybe they take ATN.
Yeah, I could see that. Or Frank Gore sucks Perine's skill like he does with every other running back.
Just vampires him.
Yep, and then he plays another 20 years. But I love Denzel Mims, and I said on Twitter, I said there's not there isn't a bigger buy to me than Denzel Mims, because Trevor Lawrence is going to come in. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, what if he stays? With COVID, Lawrence is coming out. We talked about it before. I'm not going to hash back on it again. But Lawrence has the 101 with the Jets. They're going to get a new coach. They're not firing Gase because he's so good at losing. So they're not they're not going to fire Gase when you've got this once in a generation, yes, I said it, tight talent in Trevor Lawrence and Andrew Luck-esque. Like, and people are saying he's better than Andrew Luck. People that I trust, Ray Garvin has said, you know, Trevor Lawrence is legit. He's the truth. And he is the best prospect to come out on quarterback that he's seen in a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. So in Dynasty, you may think I'm crazy for saying this, but he is going to be a first-round pick in super flex drafts. I mean, without a doubt, if rookies are involved, Lawrence is going to be an early second, late first-round pick in startup super flex drafts.
We saw it with Burrow.
Yeah, Burrow was a mid-second, and Lawrence is better than Burrow. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree with that. But yeah, Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be my sixth. It's bold, but that's where I'm going to have to take him if I want him, and I want him.
Absolutely. Tim, who you got at your six?
My six is the old man on the list. It's Aaron Rodgers, and he's not the oldest man on my list, but he's the old man at this point. I would imagine that they would draft a receiver, maybe. I mean, everybody thought they would this year if they didn't.
No, they get Devin Funchess back. Why would they need a receiver?
That's right.
Because, I mean, yes, him and Davante Adams have this mind meld where they just constantly know exactly what the other one's doing, and that's fantastic, but you have to get him somebody else there. I mean, these younger guys have flashes occasionally a couple times a game, but imagine if they would have took Denzel Mims, let's say.
T. Higgins.
T. Higgins. Imagine one of those guys on the Green Bay Packers team. That'd be absolutely amazing.
So low key.
Eagles would have took Justin Jefferson, just everything would have been awesome.
Oh, here we go.
But, no, but he plays too much slot, Tim. That wouldn't have worked. What if?
Can't play outside.
I think if you give Aaron Rodgers another receiver to that group, he's just going to keep doing what he's been doing for the past 13, 14 years now, and just absolutely carving up defenses, because that's what Aaron Rodgers does.
What if I told you Funchess is going to be only 24 years old?
It doesn't matter.
But honestly, I'm joking. But I swear the dude's going to be like 26 next year.
He might.
He's like Randall Cobb. He never ages.
Yeah.
He's forever 25.
Yeah, Randall Cobb was good for a while, you know?
True. So I've got my number six, and I know he hasn't been cooking lately. Like, he's been ordering takeout quite a bit. But I've got Russell Wilson at six. At the end of the season, maybe I shuffle him down just a little bit, but I still believe in Russell's talent. I think that they're obviously struggling a little bit through the passing game. We saw Russell Wilson put up amazing, right up there with Dak Prescott, points per game numbers through the first handful of weeks of the season. He's cooled off a little bit for whatever reason. I'm not really sure. I don't know if they're changing their identity of that team and they're trying to run more often. I really don't know.
They need to refill propane.
Possibly. But you've got Russell, and he is tied to DK Metcalf for a while, who's could be a lot of people's dynasty wide receiver one. He's got Chris Carson. I like him. Tyler Lockett's on the team. They got Josh Gordon. Just kidding. I don't care about Josh Gordon. But I like Russ. And, you know, again, he's that safe guy that doesn't turn the ball over much. And, he did have a 3-interception game a few weeks ago. We've seen the ceiling for Russ. We've seen the floor. It's okay. So for me, I guess kind of I take a little bit more of the floor route. Like, give me guys with safe floors, especially in Superflex, because if I can have two of those guys in my drafts, I'm feeling really good about it. Whereas Tyler might be swinging a little bit more for the ceiling type of plays. And I totally understand that, but that can, it's a risk reward. And for me, if I'm in a startup, like, I want the guy that I can rely on and be safe every single week. And for me, that's Russell Wilson over some of the other guys that we've already mentioned on this list.
Yeah. Russ is my seven. So in case you guys are wondering who's next for me, Russ is seven. And it's honestly because I like Lockett still. I think Lockett is a guy that we talked about with Keenan Allen, who can last. He's kind of built to last for me. You know, once he's done outside, he's a guy who's small enough to play in the slot, shifty enough to play in the slot.
You can move him into like a Golden Tate type of role.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And DK is, I mean, like you guys told me, he must have killed a man today from what these guys told me.
He spiked him straight into hell.
He choke slammed a DB directly into the field.
Now, so I like Russ, but he's seven for me.
To stay right on the same guy here, number seven for me is Russ. And if we're talking about those receivers, he's got a great, great connection there with both of those guys. And we're talking about DK. DK is a bigger, faster version of T.O. Absolutely an animal at the position. He's just built bigger than almost every receiver in the game. Mm-hmm. And he's got crazy, crazy speed that you don't imagine a person that size having. So, Russell Wilson is absolutely amazing, and he makes some really amazing throws on a weekly basis. So I feel very safe having him here in the middle of my roster at quarterbacks. Yep.
And I'll go to my seven. I've got someone we've already talked about, and that's Josh Allen of the Bills. A really solid player. He is a lot of fun to watch, but I do have some concerns about all the physical contact. He has been much more accurate this year, but I feel like there's still some of that like turnovers from 2019 lingering with Josh Allen. Like, I'm just waiting for it. I do think Stephon Diggs was just a brilliant addition for that team that has really kind of unlocked Josh Allen. I do like John Brown as well when he's healthy. Gabriel Davis, obviously a rookie. Ooh, he's going to be on the team for a while, who's looked really, really good. Cole Beasley. Josh Allen set up for success. And I do like that. My only concerns with him would be, you know, more turnovers than the other guys that we've talked about previously. And just from a physical wear and tear, like we've seen those big quarterbacks that take hits, like you said, with Cam Newton, even big quarterbacks like Carson Wentz, who's got some mobility, guys like that take a lot of hits are just a little bit more injury prone, as opposed to the guys like, you know, your Kylers and guys like that know how to get out of bounds and know how to kind of like maneuver their bodies and not draw contact. I call them like the non-RG3s. So for me, that's a little bit of concern with Allen, but the rise that we've seen from Josh Allen when, you know, we were in rookie drafts, Tyler, he was a mid second round pick because everyone hated him. And now he's a top 10 dynasty quarterback. So it's pretty awesome to see the growth from where he started to where he is now. So he's my QB seven.
Well, Doug, I'm going to jump right into eight because Mr. Allen's my number eight. I'm just going to reiterate all the stuff you said. You nailed it. But Tyler mentioned him being like a Big Ben type earlier, and that's exactly it. You mentioned the running around and taking hits. He's also big and strong in the pocket, and that first guy might not be able to take him to the ground, so that first guy's going to just kind of wrap him up, and then he's a sitting duck for that next guy coming off the edge, just absolutely clocking him. And that's the big scary ones for me. But Josh Allen, it's good to see the uptick in the accuracy department this year. Brown seems to be kind of that last little puzzle piece that seems to make that offense that one step better. So as long as he's got John Brown there and he's got Diggs going, I think it's sky's the limit for this kid.
Love it. Tyler, who do you have at eight?
Well, my seven is Dak. So
did we skip your seven? I apologize.
No, my eight is Dak. I forgot I put Trevor Lawrence in, and in my rankings at Dynasty Nerds, it doesn't show up as Trevor Lawrence as my six. So gotcha. Russ at seven, Dak at eight. Yeah, I have Dak at eight for the same reasons you guys said. I mean, he is the motor to that offense. He's got CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, and Michael Gallup, who, you know, he hasn't had the greatest year. He's still a very talented player. They get their tight end back next year, and Zeke will be there for what seems like an eternity.
Ever.
And without a legitimate quarterback back there, we see the bad season that Zeke's having.
Yeah. And really honestly, struggled. Zeke will be just fine. I get everybody's like, oh, Tony Pollard, this, but Tony Pollard is like a Daryl Henderson type player. Yeah. He's meant to have 10 carries a game. Otherwise he's not going to be able to handle a full load.
Yeah, he's a great hitter. RB2 on a team. Great RB2.
I agree. And so Dak is my eight, and there's a chance Dak, and I feel like Dak could be ahead of Russ. He could be right there with Deshaun Watson, and he could be ahead of Trevor Lawrence if I needed to, but I love Trevor Lawrence.
Yes, you do. Tim, who did you have at your eight?
My eight was Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
He was your seven, so I just jumped right to eight.
That's right. So my eight is a name we've heard before, and that's Justin Herbert. I'm not as completely over the moon for Justin Herbert. I think what we're seeing is, like, yes, he's on some or he was on some historic paces for rookie yardage and touchdowns. Yeah. But what we've seen the last couple of weeks, you know, I think it's the coming to the NFL. Like, he's doing great, which is awesome, but you know, he's not going to be able to sustain that over a full season, I believe. I'm really interested to see what happens with that team from a coaching perspective, because Anthony Lynn is just, he's not good. They need to get someone in there that can really grow that offense the way that it has the potential to be. And so I've got Herbert at 8, although I will admit, like, I do see the absolute upside that Justin Herbert has. So right now he's 8. If you talk to me in a year, maybe he's in my top 5. Totally possible. And I totally acknowledge that. I'm just, you know, as I look at all these guys ahead of them, like, I go, well, who would I want? Who would I want? Who would I want? Like, it's really close with a lot of these guys. But for me, as Herbert is, it'll be interesting to see at the end of the season, which, you know, we still have, you know, four more games because they're not going to make the playoffs. Maybe they give him a nice weapon in the draft.
Yeah.
A top 10 pick. That's all I'm saying. Maybe they go Pitts. Eh?
Pitts from Florida? Yeah, I mean, Pitts or, you know, Jamar Chase. There's a lot of good receivers in this class as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have opted out.
Yeah. Yep. So it'd be interesting to see how they, if they choose to build defensively, because it feels like they do that every year, or they decide to build around Justin Herbert on the offensive side of the ball.
Their defense is phenomenal when they have Derwin James. When he's
without Derwin, they're totally different. Yeah.
Yeah. Completely agree.
Absolutely. So, Tyler, let's go to you. Who is your number 9?
Lamar Jackson. And I actually have him lower than a lot of people. And it's just because I don't think he's that great of a thrower. He shows, I lived with Michael Vick. I've been through those years, and people compared Lamar to Michael Vick. And there's a very good comparison, a big arm, not very accurate at times, but he has throws where you're like, that was a one and only type throw. Like, one player could only make that throw at that moment. And that's Lamar Jackson, or that's Mike Vick. And that's how I feel. And I love Mark Andrews. And I think that Lamar favors him almost too much. Like, he wants to go to him like Vic did with LJ Crumpler. And I think that's an issue. And they need to get that other weapon, that stud receiver. Hollywood would be a good number two, but they need a guy that's a stud receiver. Yeah, exactly. And when they get that,
like, Corey Davis in free agency.
I mean, no. Corey Davis is perfect right where he's at.
I know.
Lamar, though, he needs a Jamar Chase. He needs a Rashad Bateman, a guy who's 6'3 and can do everything, not just a one-trick guy like Hollywood is. I mean, Hollywood can run good routes. He's fast, but he's not big, and I think that's going to be an issue for him, especially playing in this division where it's a lot of hitting you on the chins type play. Mm-hmm. So Lamar needs another weapon. I think he's a fine quarterback. He's a great fantasy quarterback if he can run, but there's something, I don't know, there's something off this year. So yeah, Lamar at 9 for me. I mean, he's a good quarterback one for your team.
Absolutely. Tim, who you got at number 9?
My number 9 is the same as Tyler. Lamar Jackson. I think, in my opinion, the best move for Baltimore is to bring in the veteran. They're in a certain window right now where they need to try to get somebody that can come in and win for them right now. We see what guys like Justin Jefferson are doing, but that's, you know, that's not necessarily the rule. That's kind of
the Allen Robinson, maybe.
That's a possibility.
That would be a perfect fit.
You know what? Because on these questionable balls that Lamar likes to throw up, he's one of the best to go up and get.
He's played with absolute crap quarterbacks his whole career that aren't really accurate. He'd be like,
hey, you're not good at throwing either. I'm going to love it here.
It's funny because he would step into the Baltimore and he'd be like, you are the best quarterback I have ever seen in my life.
He would be the best
quarterback
he's seen. Yeah. So, regardless of accuracy.
My biggest concern with Lamar, and we haven't seen it yet, nobody's got him in the crosshairs and just really stuck him. It's going to happen eventually. It happens to all of them. Eventually, someone will line him up, get him in the crosshairs, and uncork on him. And most of those rushing quarterbacks just aren't the same after they get that big one. So eventually that will happen with Lamar. I hope to see him continue to grow and become a better passer. We saw little ticks upwards this year. But, you know, we need to see him take that next step.
Gotcha. My number 9 is Joe Burrow. I understand he has the bad leg injury, but here's the thing about Burrow. So we saw what he was doing as a rookie quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Again, we talked about Justin Herbert. Burrow was pretty consistent week to week, and he was on pace for all the records and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. The thing that I like about Burrow the most, he's got a running back that they've signed long term. A lot of people like Joe Mixon. Some people hate him. Whatever. I like Joe Mixon. He's got T. Higgins, who's exceeded expectations in his rookie season.
Stud
in the making. They've got Tyler Boyd, who outside of like getting shamefully ejected for no reason today, has been having a really great season. AJ Green's going to be out of the picture next year.
Yeah.
So they're not going to bring him back for the kind of money he wants. If they can invest in the draft and in free agency in that offensive line, Joe Burrow is going to be awesome in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to rehab. He's going to be okay. Like if you can go out in super flex leagues and go out and acquire Joe Burrow and get him at a little bit of an injury discount, I recommend
we already had him, but we definitely got offers that.
Yes.
Yeah. And Doug and I actually made a Joe Burrow trade, but it was because I'm in the playoff hunt and I had to make a move because my quarterbacks were.
Yeah. Right.
And Doug was built for the future and it sucked. It was the hardest move for me to make. And it was probably one of the hardest trades for me to ever make. Cause I love Joe Burrow. He's my quarterback 10 and Joe Burrow, you know, people were like, oh, well the knee, he's going to be fine. People were like, oh God, it's like Alex Smith. Nope. Alex Smith had a compound fracture.
And it was more like Carson Wentz like, when he yeah,
is like, yeah. Is that like Carson Wentz or Tom Brady? It's like sure. When Tom Brady got hit and those guys, you know what they do? They wear a brace for most of their career then. And that's fine. As a quarterback, the way Joe Burrow plays, like say this was Lamar Jackson, it would make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. It's Joe Burrow.
It might cut down on Burrow's mobility, which he looked good out of the pocket this year. Okay, it'll cut down a little bit, but it's not going to.
He's no Daniel Jones, but he's pretty good.
That is very true. I just think Burrow, the trade that we made, it was one of those ones where I was like, I thought my team was built to contend, and then it just didn't happen for me this year with injuries. So it was like a decision was made to be like, all right, do I blow it up and go for future? And I was like, you know what? That could be fun. I currently own the 101. So if I can pair Joe Burrow and potentially Trevor Lawrence together for long term, that's a pretty nice start. I still have Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones, and some other good pieces. So
yeah.
It was a tough trade for me to give up Zeke and some other pieces, but whatever. But yeah, I like Joe Burrow as my number 9. I just think the kid's got a really bright future and the weapons they have around him. Really what you need to trust in is hope that the Cincinnati front office just dumps all the monies into that offensive line through the draft and through free agency and protects him, because all he needs is a little bit of protection and he's going to make T. Higgins a star. And he's going to make Tyler Boyd one of the most consistent wide receiver twos in fantasy.
So the promise of Joe Burrow is he looked good this year with these weapons and with an AJ Green like this. And Joe Burrow, he showed toughness. Like, holy cow. He took some licks. Oh, yeah. My God. There are some plays where you could see some dude flying in like a missile. And you're like, oh, God. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. And he gets hit and he's slapping the dude on the helmet. And then he's going to celebrate with his team after he completed a pass. You know what? People are kapooing about Joe Burrow, his arm strength. You know who doesn't have great arm strength? Matt Ryan. You know who is completely underrated year in and year out? Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. I think Joe Burrow's efficiency, though, in the red zone will be better than Matt Ryan, because Matt Ryan in the red zone,
he's always struggled in the red zone.
Matty freezing ice.
Ooh, natural ice. All right, who's number 9 do we need to get to? Yours, Tim, or you're good?
No, we're all done on number 9, sir.
I've lost track. I'll go to my 10.
Burrow was 10 for me, so you can just skip me.
Gotcha. 10 for me is Aaron Rodgers. I totally underestimated Aaron Rodgers. I thought he wasn't going to do nearly as well as he did this year after last year. So kudos to Aaron Rodgers. I faded him completely in redraft, and that was a big mistake. So that's on me. So Aaron Rodgers, I have him still as a top 10, still as a QB1. And in mostly it's just due, like, I'm respecting the talent and I'm respecting the fantasy numbers here. But it's more of an age thing for me. Like, when I look at the break of all these guys, I'm like, you know what? That's where I start to think of Aaron Rodgers and then the next two players that I have, which are super young. Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's still got good years left in the NFL. We don't know how long he's going to be tied to Devontae Adams for. You know, it can't be dismissed that they did draft a quarterback in the first round. Maybe Aaron Rodgers plays one more year in Green Bay and then they trade him away, or who knows what happens with his future. But for right now, Aaron Rodgers is my QB10 in Dynasty because he is absolutely popping off in 2020.
And we already did Tyler, so I'll jump in here for number 10. I also have Joe Burrow at number 10. The kid's absolutely amazing. My only concern is Cincinnati doesn't do the right thing. As you guys stated, they have to do the right thing. Get an offensive line in front of this kid while he's still young. Don't do what the Colts did to Andrew Luck and think, well, this kid's just got all the talent in the world. We'll just give him, weapons on the outside, and we're not going to worry about the blocking.
And then by the time they did give him an offensive line, it was too late.
Yeah, it was too late, and he was broken. So Joe Burrow is the guy that I think could be, he's not going to take the crown from Mahomes, but he could be that guy that's going to battle with Mahomes year in and year out in the AFC. And I think he's absolutely amazing. I put the star beside his name on my list because he's that guy that I think I could probably see, a year from this time having him in my top five. Just right now, it's really, really hard to move some of these other names down to get him in there.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
The promise for Cincinnati is that they had, excuse me, they had a really good draft. And getting T. Higgins with the first pick, they hit on a lot of defensive players. And they did have a decent offensive line. There was moments where when Jonah Williams, whenever the hell he can play, he seems like he's hurt all the time. He is a perfect fit for what they want, but they are going to have a shot at getting that Oregon left tackle and moving Jonah.
They need to just stack up five really good starters in front of them. Like, I remember watching the Eagles game and we just put some hits on Burrow where it's like, when's this guy not going to stand back up? And to his credit, he kept doing it. But
so also talking about Andrew Luck, I have a weird feeling he's coming back in
no
a year.
Way. No.
After Phillip Rivers is gone, to say that he doesn't come back?
Because Matt Stafford's going there.
Oh my God, that's a perfect fit.
Jacob Eason, guys. Have you been reading the Jacob Eason puff pieces lately? Come on now.
But I mean, they own Andrew Luck's contract. Even me, as a normal average human being,
I still have it in my dynasty leagues.
I get the itch to throw a football around because I used to play every Sunday out at a field.
Do you get the itch to be hit by 300-pound men?
With that offensive line that he has, though. I mean, his offensive line is insane.
I think Rivers only been sacked like 10 times all year.
Yeah. And if Luck sees this, he's like, and he just sits there and he goes, maybe. And he really misses it. I mean, he could be out for, I honestly could see it. I can see it after Rivers contracts up. Andrew Luck's just like, you know what? Let's do it.
I think it's grasping for straws. I think he's done.
Yeah.
I don't think he's coming back.
I think you're done.
All right. So Tyler, stay on the mic. Give me your number 11. I'm really intrigued where you go with this one.
Tua.
Ah, that's mine. I got Tua at number 11 too.
Number 11, Tua. And I like what I see. And my issue with it is not because of Tua. It's because of the offensive weapons. And with Houston's first round pick, I think they snag up Jamar Chase. And I think Jamar Chase becomes Tua's favorite weapon. Either that or they get Smith from Alabama, who is a perfect comparison for what they need. He's not the biggest guy, but he's a very good receiver. He's the hypothetical Alabama receiver. Amazing route runner. Kind of undersized. Yeah, kind of undersized, but
I got you.
Yeah. I think Jamar Chase would be a better receiver for him, though. But Tua is going to get a weapon. They're going to use it on Tua. They're going to build around him. I like what I saw today.
Weapons. They're going to get a running back. They're going to get a wide receiver. They're going to stack around to build around Parker and Gesicki, and then hopefully Preston Williams.
Why not get Najee Harris? Why not throw him behind Tua?
Yeah, they're familiar with each other.
Yeah, I honestly, Tua is legit. I think we saw it today as well. I know they play Bengals, but I think Bengals defense is very underrated. I mean, they've got a lot of good pieces.
They show flashes, sure.
Yeah. I mean, Von Bell has played outstanding this
year. Jesse Bates is really good, too, for you IDPers out there.
Yep. And Tua showed up. there was a moment of time where I'm like, I mean,
the first half looked rough. I was like, oh, are they going to put Fitzpatrick in? And then Tua kind of snapped out of it. And then all of a sudden I looked and he's at like almost 300 yards passing. And I'm like, where did that come from?
Because from what I saw the first couple quarters, he was throwing really close to the line. Mm-hmm. He's making safe passes. And I think once the third quarter started, like you said, something clicked where he's like hitting passes beyond 10 yards. And he's just like a little tiny puncture marks each play, just boom, 10 yards, boom, 10 yards. And then all of a sudden there's a 20 yarder.
It was almost like a rhythm. Like it just took him a little while to get into rhythm.
Yeah. And his thumb is still hurt, but Tua is so good. And you can see it. You see success in Tua, and they just need that piece. They need a couple, well, more than one. I think Gaskins is fine, but
he's not the guy, receiver. Though.
No.
Yeah. Tim, who do you? So I have Tua as my 11 for many of the same reasons that you do, Tyler. Tim, who's your 11?
This is where I jump into the rookie class, and I am going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars rookie quarterback, Justin Fields.
I thought you were going to say him, Jake Luton.
You have him ahead of Trevor Lawrence?
Just because he's going to be on the Jags, and he's going to be throwing to Chark, LaVisca, Cole, Colin Johnson. I'm not James saying, Robinson I am not Mac saying, field. I am not saying that I have Justin Fields ranked ahead of Trevor Lawrence in any sort of rookie ranks. I'm saying that at this time next year, I think that Justin Fields will be a more viable fantasy quarterback for his points for the year 2021 than Trevor Lawrence will be because of all those players that the Jags have. They have the running back that I think can keep them going for the next couple of years. They have a great receiving core. They would need a tight end. They're going to need some defensive pieces for sure. You put some defensive pieces around that team. That team's feisty as it is right now. They nearly won a game today.
They've been in a lot of games this year.
They are cats. So
you get them a couple extra pieces in the draft this year. You get them that quarterback, and they're going to start winning games, and they're going to be in plus situations. So I think Justin Fields is going to come out, land on a very decent team. Hopefully they get a good coaching staff in place as well. And I think Justin Fields could have a good rookie season.
I like it.
I like that call.
Yeah, I like that call too. I was remember when there was a Gardner Minshew window where you could sell him for pretty good like return? And now he's healthy and Mike Glennon's still the starting quarterback. Oh, God, I remember that. Anywho, I digress. I'm going to wrap up number 12 for me, and that is Trevor Lawrence. For a lot of the reasons that Tyler said, I think I'm going to love in the UDPL, if Trevor Lawrence comes out, I'm going to love for many years the Denzel Mims and Trevor Lawrence connection that I have on that team. That was one of the intriguing things for me. It was like, ooh, like if he goes to the Jets, like I got Mims. That could be the hotness. Mims is killing it in air yards right now.
Mm-hmm. Chris Herndon, anybody?
Buy him on the cheap if you want, I suppose.
He scored a touchdown last week, I think.
He did last week. Yeah,
it might have been 4 weeks ago.
It was his only one of the season, whatever.
It's pretty recent. I remembered it.
I mean, it's not like Breshad Perriman's bad, and there's Jameson Crowder, who's one of the better slot receivers in the league. If they just add a running back and they keep adding to that line and drop Trevor Lawrence in there, like, okay, we're going to see some cool things here. And I have him at 12. And I guess for me with rookie quarterbacks is like I get the hype behind a Trevor Lawrence being a one-in-time, but all these guys ahead of him I've already seen. So for me, it's like I've seen him do it at the NFL level and be successful in a game or two, maybe multiple games with like Tua, Herbert, Burrow, guys like that. Like, okay, my eyes have seen it. With Trevor Lawrence is like, I've seen it in college, but as we know, college is a totally different game. He's surrounded by elite prospects all around him, a lot like Joe Burrow was. And that was one of my biggest concerns with Burrow was like, okay, he had Hilaire, he had Jefferson, he had all these guys around him. Like, was it really him or was it them? Or was it a combination of the two? Well, Joe Burrow proved to me like, okay, he was the engine that drove that car. So for me, it's very similar. The difference is Lawrence has done it for multiple years. Burrow only did it for one. So that's another reason why I had Burrow. I was kind of skeptical. But now that I've seen it, I'm like, dude, I love Joe Burrow. I'm hoping to say the same for Trevor Lawrence. But until then, this is why I have him ranked at number 12. Still a QB1, mind you, in a startup. So I still think that's probably fair. I can understand why Tyler has him much higher because he's a little bit more bullish on rookie quarterbacks than I tend to be.
Yeah. And speaking of rookie quarterbacks, I have Justin Fields at 12 for every reason that Tim said. I do love the Jacksonville landing spot. and say their defense doesn't turn it around, they're not good, even better for a quarterback.
Yeah, and you're chasing the points.
Yep, you're chasing points. They got a great running back. Hopefully he doesn't Zach Stacy himself into 2021. But I do like their build of the offense. I think DJ Chark is one of the more underrated receivers in the league. Laviska Shenault, I was wrong on. The dude is a good receiver. He just needs Colin more Johnson, targets.
Baby. Yeah.
Colin Johnson. I mean,
shout out to Robbie Jeffries for Colin Johnson. He was one of the first guys on Colin Johnson in Texas. So yeah. Shout out to Robbie.
Colin Johnson was a phenomenal Debbie asset 3 years ago. He was one of the more talked about receivers. And then, you know, he had an off year, and then people are like, well, what are we going to do with this?
Devin Duvernay had a better year last year.
Yeah, and then everybody's like, what are we going to do with a 6'6 receiver? He's too tall, isn't he? No, he actually plays smaller than 6'6, but he can actually still do the jump ball type stuff. Yeah. Heck of a draft by Jacksonville. And actually, it's like seeing the talent in James Robinson as well. Mm-hmm. They have definitely had a really good offseason. Hopefully that defense gets better. Yeah, Justin Fields in a Jacksonville jersey would look real nice. And like Tim said, hopefully they get the right offensive minds behind them.
Well, let's be honest. Nobody actually looks good in the Jacksonville jersey.
As long as they don't go to those black and gold helmets, the mix,
it's pretty.
I am perfectly fine with it.
It's rough. The Rams this week too. That foam color, whatever.
Oh, the bone. I kind of like the bone.
Yeah, bone or foam.
It's the thuggish, ruggish bone.
Nice. Hey, it's the first of the month. Anyways,
hey, I'll meet you.
My number 12 is Trevor Lawrence. I think that he is the QB1 in the class. I think that his landing spot will not be as sexy as Justin Fields here. And that's the only reason I have him behind Justin Fields. But we also know that you remove Gase from any situation, all the players get better somehow. So,
oh God. Yeah.
You know,
strange how Williams, wide receiver one. Yeah. Overall.
Thankfully, Trevor Lawrence has never had to play under Adam Gase, but he's going to go into a situation where everybody all of a sudden is going to be like, oh, we're good again. Like Chris Herndon's going to be a decent tight end, and Denzel Mims is going to skyrocket up the wide receiver rankings. And yeah, it's going to be absolutely awesome. I just wanted to throw this out there. If there was a quarterback from this rookie class that I could see being the Herbert this time next year, keep your eyes and ears open for Zach Wilson from BYU. 73% completion percentage. He's got a 12.6.
Did you see him get assaulted yesterday?
I did not.
Ridiculous.
Really?
So, the Coastal Carolina guys were like just beating him up. It was egregious. It was disgusting.
Yeah. So also, he looks like he's 12. So we got to figure out what his birth certificate says and if he's actually eligible to join the NFL, because he looks like he's 12.
Doesn't matter if you're 12, you're 3 years out of high school. There you go.
It's true.
So, yeah, 12.6 air yards per attempt too. The guy's got the tools to do it. So
nice. Well, that wraps up our QB1s in Dynasty. Tyler, you got any words for us before we go?
No. Once again, check out Trophy Smack. Well, I guess I do. Go check out Trophy Smack. No,
but listen to me talk.
I don't have any words, but I'm going to say a bunch of words.
Go check out trophysmack.com. It is the end of the season. You got to get the sweet trophy. Yeah, I mean, you need some comfort in your life. COVID's happening. Find something that you love and that loves you back. And that is a Trophy Smack trophy, DHH ring, to get a free $60 ring with a purchase of a trophy or a belt. I sadly am going to have to ship off my belt in part of one of my leagues to the winner in my comic book league. It's sad. I've definitely spent more time with the belt than I have before. But I am going to have to ship it off and to a cleaner first and then ship it to the next person.
Sanitize it to whoever gets it.
No, and then check out thetoploaders.com. They got a break happening tomorrow. And also our Patreon, $5 a month. We got to send our winners their free shirt. We got to figure out what they want to Randy and to Brian, who's going to be joining a Top Loaders break. And why don't you join Brian as well? And top loader, thetoploaders.com into a break. And also the next couple weeks, you know, in a couple weeks, week 15 in the NFL season, we will be doing our running backs 2021 top rankings. Yeah. That one's going to be a little tougher because running backs suck.
Hotmess.com for running backs.
Exactly.
Tim, did you want to give a shout out to you, the other podcast that you I've been seeing you broadcasting lately? Give it a shout out before we leave.
Yeah, sure. Cowboys Butt.
Two
Cowboy
completely
Butt.
Different lines of
it's
of
okay.
Podcasting. I do a veterans podcast. It's Veterans Beyond the Wire. You can check us out. Me and a buddy of mine from the Marine Corps have on some really fun and smart and educated and professional guests. And you get to see me try to be as professional as possible instead of this sort of thing.
Wait, what? We're not professional? Whatever happened to the whatever happened to the I Love Cowboy Butts pod?
You know, well, that one I don't, you know, that's my third one that I don't really put out there, but
right. It's only found on the dark web.
I love that pod.
It's you got to go to the gas station and get the prepaid.
Who doesn't
cards?
Love a cowboy's butt, yeah. You know?
True.
That's odd. I mean, you that's think weird. That podcast would be top 10.
Yeah. So definitely check out Tim's Veteran on the Wire podcast for him. I know he's doing a nice job with that every single week. I see the Facebook feed for it. So that's awesome. So if you're a veteran, if you have any interest there, check it out. It's really cool. You can, I might as well pop up. Hey, you can check me out on Trophy Time. I've got two podcasts a week. Guru Gabe Guidance, which I do by myself, which has been getting some spectacular feedback. And then I do the regular Trophy Time pod with my brother-in-law. So check that out on tffgurus.com. That's enough of the plugs. We're going to get out of here. We'll. Oh, nope. Tim says no.
I'm going to vouch for you, Doug. If you have questions about who you think you should start in a lineup, listen to Guru Game Guidance. Doug goes solo. It's awesome. It's on my every week. Listen, I'm telling you, it's a fantastic, fantastic show. I normally listen to it on Saturdays when I'm out doing yard work or something around the house. So Doug, you're doing
also, Tim also has a new podcast coming out that he's working on. It's How to Be a Kiss Ass. So that one comes out every Tuesday.
I'm helping a buddy. He does a fantastic job. I love it.
Thank you for the positive feedback, Tim, and for the others I've heard from. Thank you very much. It makes it much more exciting for me to do it every week to know that people are listening and people are enjoying it. So that's going to wrap us up for Dynasty Happy Hour. Thank you to Tim. Thank you to Tyler. The three of us will see you back in week 15 to talk about running backs. Peace.